Hey guys, before we get started, I wanted to invite you to our private Facebook group. All you got to do is head over to Facebook and type in Unconventional Leaders in your search bar. We have a powerful community over there of people who are going against the grain and making an impact in this world in their own unique way. We would love to have you a part. Again, that is Unconventional Leaders over on Facebook.
Sometimes when you're doing something that is a little outside of the box and you're having a hard time getting momentum with it, that it might not be like, don't worry about what other people are thinking. There might be something alignment-wise off.
I've always felt immense fear.
I was born with cerebral palsy.
I have always felt small.
I was told not to take risks.
I may be blind, but I teach people how to see.
And I'm proud to be an individual.
This podcast is for you, the unconventional leader.
Maybe you are the one that everyone discounted.
Maybe you struggle with fear and self-doubt.
We are here to empower the next generation of self-starters to step up,
use their voice, and make an impact in this world.
As a teen mom of two little girls, our guest this week, Danielle Sabrina, became one of the youngest traders on Wall Street at just 19 years old. Since then, she has grown an award-winning PR firm and is a sought-after brand and media strategist. Well, what got her there? She says a healthy mix of ambition and spirituality. What's up, y'all? If this is your first time listening, my name is Heather Parody. I am your host. Danielle Sabrina, such a cool human. I had so much fun connecting with her, not only hearing her story of going from a 19-year-old on Wall Street with two little girls, but also to her spiritual journey and how that has led her into the work that she's doing today. This episode's for you if you know that there's something more for you. Maybe you're having a hard time identifying what is next. Maybe you're like me, a little ambitious, but also super into spirituality. You're going to love this one, y'all. Danielle can be found over at tribebuildermedia.com. That is linked in the show notes. But before we get started, if you have not subscribed yet, look down at your phone, hit the subscribe button. We are for unconventional leaders. So if that's you, if you are ambitious, creative, who feels a little bit outside of the box, like all of us creatives are, hit subscribe. This show is for you. Let's go ahead and get into this, y'all. From Wall Street at 19 to branding and media with Danielle Sabrina.
Yeah, so when I was in finance, I started getting into the IPO space on the finance side, and I saw how much media could influence, you know, exposure to stocks, exposure to companies, just through media. Actually, a little prior to that, I was growing broker-dealer firms. And the compliance around any marketing initiatives in that industry is just incredibly archaic and very restrictive. Everything is a no. So just assume if you're going to launch a campaign, it's a no. So you have to find a lot of very creative ways to connect audiences. Because at the end of the day, whether it's wealth management, advisor, it doesn't matter, you're connecting someone else with their client or their customer, whether it's a partnership, it doesn't matter what it is, that connection is still like, that's the common denominator. I was really good at that. And I grew broker dealers very fast. And I saw like my passion for marketing and scalability is, it just comes naturally. I didn't even realize I had a passion for it. It's something that it's just the way my brain works. And I'm also very intuitive. So when I was in finance, it's not that I maybe realized quite, you know, how intuitive I am, but I do have the ability to see my clients' goals materialized. So I can see what that is ahead of, I can see why it won't work, even if everything, all the boxes are checked off. Yes, like we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing that. I can see why it won't work. And I can also see how something will work, even if it hasn't been tried and tested yet. So when I started more on my spiritual journey, that's when I decided I was just going to be a business intuitive and help, at first, spiritual entrepreneurs, solo entrepreneurs, launch businesses doing something that they loved, that they're passionate about. That's how I got into it. And then I started managing brands, building brands for celebrities and athletes, professional athletes, managing their brands. And this is before personal branding became like a thing. Like everybody knows what that is now, but before it definitely, no one really understood it. From there, I was getting my clients into publications. So I was getting them published in like Forbes and Entrepreneur, Refinery 29, Cosmo, depending on who they are. And that's how I ended up eventually evolving into a full agency.
I would love to go down the rabbit hole a little bit about the spiritual journey piece. I think that's super interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about like what you meant by like, your spiritual journey and how that kind of woke you up to what you're doing right now?
Yep. So, I mean, it goes back to, I was a high school dropout. I was a teen mom. And then I got it. Then I ended up being one of the youngest traders on Wall Street, if not the youngest one. I don't know. I say one of, because I'm like, I don't know how young the youngest one was, but I was 19. And I know for sure I was the youngest one during that time. So that was my first experience with manifestation and tapping into your belief system. And I didn't know how to define that or what that was, but I knew that there was something else happening besides me just studying, because at the time, the Series 7 was the third hardest exam in the United States. Not only did I drop out of high school, I really didn't go to high school. Like I never went. I think I went to school 10 times, like if that, and I certainly wasn't like paying attention those 10 times. I'm sure I was just there to avoid further trouble, you know? And I was also in a lot of trouble before that. So even from like from grade 7 on, I really didn't extract much from school because I was in trouble constantly. I was in like a group home. I was just in trouble. So you're not paying attention to your studies. So the fact that I passed that exam when there was other people that were taking the exam with me that had graduated from like an Ivy League college and they didn't pass. So I knew something was there, you know, I didn't know exactly what, but I was then kind of on that, all right, well, if I can do this, I can do anything. Literally, like no one's going to tell me anything from this point forward. Like whatever I want to do, I'm doing it.
I don't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
See, I'm new to this world too. And I'm like in my 30s. And so, you know, thinking about a 19-year-old who gets, because I was 19, I didn't know what any of this stuff meant. Like, what kind of exposed you to this idea that you could like manifest this to pass this test and all of that? Like what did that look like for a 19-year-old girl?
So I didn't realize it then, but something triggered inside me then though, that gave me the belief that whatever society had told me or what I had been led to believe of how I could be successful, how I could live life, like it wasn't like there's other paths. I didn't come across like really digging into healing until a little bit later in life. So after I was in finance, I had bought some retail stores and, you know, I bought a house in a neighborhood that I grew up in that I, you know, we used to drive around and my mom would be like, can you imagine what it'd like to live in that house or in that neighborhood, you know? And I bought that house and, you know, we went on vacations. My daughters had horses and like all these like material things. So I was like, okay, well, I did all of these things. Why am I not happy? Why do I feel like I'm still dying inside? Because it's like, everyone's like, oh, you have this and that. Or that's what I had in my head, you know? So that started down a spiral. I also then end up getting divorced in the middle of all of this, losing everything. And it was then that I was like, okay, I was just exhausted, honestly. So I was like, I don't even want to start anything if I'm going to sabotage it because I didn't know it was healing. I didn't know what I was looking for at the time, but I definitely knew that something wasn't like, I literally felt dead inside or like I was dying inside and nothing external could fix that. Therapy didn't do anything. That was like a waste of time for me. It was then that I started down my path. So I first discovered, I mean, that's like a long story too. So I don't know how like,
I mean, this is the stuff we talk about. Yeah.
So I had no prior belief system. Like I wouldn't say I was like an atheist, but I didn't know. Like I just had no, I knew that I didn't like when someone told me they would pray for me, it like made me angry. Like if I felt like they were being condescending, you know? So I had that sort of just feelings about spirituality. I first discovered Buddhism. So I started practicing Buddhism at a very basic level. And looking back on that stuff now and coming across like law of attraction and understanding energy, again, at a very basic level, I can see now I was like creating new neural pathways. So it was probably connecting circuits that weren't connected already in my brain or had been like disconnected a long time ago. I think that I was releasing trapped emotions that I didn't even know I had, which is something I do a lot today. And I can get into that because that's like a whole, I'm very passionate about that now. And then I just continued following that path. And then I started studying under like Joe Dispenza, Greg Braden, Dr. Wayne Dyer, who is alive. I just consumed, my whole world was consumed in that and understanding that and choosing to believe in everything from quantum physics to biblical verses that, you know, have a much different meaning than most people think they mean. And learning, and then just testing myself, like testing, you know, bringing in the law of attraction. And I remember I had nothing at the time. I was living in this horrible apartment, far worse than off than I was when I was pregnant at 19. Or I was, well, I had both my kids by the time I was 19. So pregnant when I was like 17, no money. And I just started like practicing the law of attraction. And things started happening, like the crazy stories that, you know, you read about that you're kind of like, did that happen? Like, I always encourage people, you just have to experience it for yourself. Like, don't even take my word for it, like experience it. But I had gotten a check in the mail for like $50,000, $35,000 at a time where like I had no money. And these were things like the most random things. It was something like a house I had owned like 10 years prior, something, some sort of class action against like a mortgage company, like nothing that I had any personal action in. But all of the, you know, this stuff started flowing in. My world started changing with just my actions. So I started healing. I'm not sure I knew that's what like it was at the time, but I knew that I was like on a path that was creating a much better life for me without me having to change anything external.
Healing. What do you mean by healing?
It's just what I describe when you start down a path that for some people it's, you know, we all have all these, we have these like trapped emotions in us that, and we just cut ourselves off from our own source energy. So whether you want to call that like your God force energy, your own, what universal energy, whatever you want to call that, like it's still to me, in my opinion, like the same energy, the same vibration frequency, but we cut ourselves off from that unknowingly, just with being in this, like our earthly bodies, judgment does that, judgment on ourselves, judgment on others, not coming from a place of love. A lot of us has experienced, you know, a tremendous amount of trauma. And, you know, that hurt is trapped inside different organs of our body. And it's that, so those organs aren't, you know, functioning at its, their optimal level. So you're like tired, your brain fog, you know, you just don't feel well. And then someone's like, oh, well, you're depressed. And then it's like, okay, well, maybe, but, or maybe, you know, you have trapped emotions, maybe you have unprocessed emotions.
I was on a Clubhouse chat and somebody had mentioned in there, and I think there's so many people who feel this way. They had spent, you know, years and years in this career and they just felt exactly what you were saying earlier. They so unsatisfied. They had achieved all these things and all of that. And they knew that there was something more. And I think so many of us, you know, experience this, but it kind of identifying what is it that I'm supposed to be doing. This, I have everything that I work for. I busted my ass. Here I am. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. Something's calling me, but I'm not sure what it is. Sitting in that space is tricky. How did you navigate that? Because, you know, you had worked so hard and you'd manifested some things to happen and beat a lot of odds and made something of yourself in this one lane, and to kind of question that and go into, you know, allow yourself to explore other areas. What did that look like practically for you?
Yeah, that's actually a big, I feel like people struggle with that all the time. And, you know, I would say up until like recently, you know, I always had, you know, did as well, you know, I'd always kind of be like, all right, well, this feels good, but I feel like, you know, I should be doing something else. Or, but to answer your question, it on a practical, here's what I figured out now. Like, so back then on a practical level, I'm like, okay, forget me trying to figure out what my business is going to be. I'm just going to start sharing my own personal opinion on things and attract people that share my same thought space. And I had to work on releasing some beliefs that I didn't even know existed around, like, I had held on so tightly to like my Series 7, and like that was such a representation, like that was my, it was like, you know, my degree. Like I didn't, sure. like without that, who am I? And sure. who am I? Like it was like my, you know, I'm like holding it so silly now, but like for sure back then I was. And I was from a small town in New Hampshire, and nobody leaves. Most people don't leave it. They grow up there. Their parents grow up there. Their great grandparents grow up there, and everybody stays in the same town. Doesn't leave. They don't leave. Yeah. So also being in that environment is hard when you're trying to like create something different or be something, you know, just be yourself really. So on a practical level, it's just, you know, letting go of, okay, well, is that on brand, or, you know, is this going to offend this person or that person? And just, you have to be like, I don't care. You really do need to feel that way. Like whatever.
Yeah.
Because none of the people that are going to have a problem are the ones or the people that are randomly popping into your mind that you like went to high school or college with, or like a neighbor or whoever, like they're not going to be buying from you. So why would you let them determine how good of a life you or your children can have because you're like navigating their potential feelings?
Yeah. You said in another interview, and I'm paraphrasing, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but you had mentioned about aligned clients, what you were just talking about, and, you know, and making sure you're working with people that you really want to work with, and making sure that what you do is, you know, you actually enjoy it and all this stuff. And there's so much of a release of control when we kind of go down that lane, but you seem to be so ambitious as well. And you've made, you know, you've worked with a lot of really cool people. You've moved big things for people. I mean, you've done some awesome stuff. So kind of mixing the ambitious, busting ass, you know, you get crap done, but also too, that alignment piece where you're like, you know, I want to do align with stuff that feels good. Sometimes I feel torn in between those two spaces because you have the messaging of like, bust your ass, get it done. You know, like, I'm going to dominate and all of this stuff. And then you have on the other side, people who are, you know, more spiritual and aligned, and mixing those two worlds together. I'm so curious about, because you are a very spiritually minded person, but also too, you have some massive results on the end. How do those two worlds interact with you?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because I'm also a high performer. So,
yes.
But I lead with energy. So if I'm working with someone that is unappreciative, ungrateful, doesn't see the value, you just disconnected from my energy, and it's my energy that moves things. So once that happens, then we can't work together. Because it's not just a matter of me picking up the phone or someone on my team and calling up our press contacts. That's not how it works. You know, we have these relationships. Some of these people are friends. We still need to send out, flush out, you know, a completely like fleshed out pitch that ties into a timely news story. You know, a 2 to 3 sentence media bio can take a couple of days sometimes to come up with, and a whole team of, you know, Emmy award winning writers and journalists and media people. Like, but people who are aligned, clients who are aligned, will see and value that. Like when I work with another agency for, you know, design or whatever, I can see if their energy is touching what they're creating for me, or they're just sending something back. And when I see that, I'm not like, how much is this? I'm like, great, let's keep going. Even if it's off, or, you know, like you, I'm sure you've experienced that too, working with someone, whether it's a VA or anyone, whatever, you know, anybody that you're outsourcing to or doing business with, like you can feel it. You can feel if their intention is there, their energy, their experience, you know, like I don't want to feel like I can do a better job than someone I'm paying to do that job.
Right. That makes total sense.
So being aligned, you have to just either come up with some buckets, I guess you'd call them, which is something that I've done recently, you know, and when looking at taking on a client, if they don't fit into your ideal package or ideal, like, here's what we need, like in a perfect world, this is where you're at. Let's say that's a really high level package. Okay. And, you know, clients are coming to you and they're like, well, I want to work with you, but like, this is our budget. It's more in this range. And then you, as the business owner, you're like, do I take this on? Like, it's my responsibility to bring in revenue. Like, I can do this. So stop. The second you're compromising, figure out what buckets are like you're important, very important to you. So for me, if this person doesn't fit into our retainer packages that we have, that are, you know, $10,000 a month and up? Are they a company that like we truly believe in? Like, this is such a cool company. Like, we want to get behind them because we're that excited about it. Or is it for a cause? Like, is this going to be something that, you know, especially if it's something to do with Black-owned businesses, you know, anything of, you know, funding for Black-owned business owners. If someone came to me and was like, well, we really need this help, and of course I'm going to try to figure out whatever I can to help them because I believe in those causes, especially right now. Or is it such a massive opportunity? Is it like an A-list celebrity? Is it like, you know, is it the Super Bowl? Is it something, you know, huge? And like, then it doesn't really matter what the, you know, what the financial compensation is, because there's the opportunity compensation is so high. But if they don't fit into one of those buckets, and it's good to think about what those buckets are for you, then it's not going to work well, because they're going to be asking for more than you're already compromising. And then they're going to be asking for way more because they feel like they're the high end for them.
Do you do a gut check with that? Or is that something that just with the time kind of reveals itself?
Like when we're thinking about taking on a client, or
when you're thinking about taking, is that something that you can almost pick up immediately? I'm just curious your process with that.
But not always, because you know initial phone calls are always great. You know, the person's excited to be talking to you. You're talking to them about your company, but so I mean, they're definitely sometimes you're like, yeah, this is for sure no. But that's why it's helpful to have those buckets handy so that you can remind yourself and look at it a little more objectively, because that way you're not getting sucked into like the hype either. So they're like, yeah, this is, we're doing this. And like, we have all these people that are involved, because we have a lot of clients that come to us too, that are like, oh, I did all of this with these celebrities and these ones and these ones. Blah, 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 blah. And they don't know that most of the time I know those celebrities myself personally, because I don't talk about everybody that I know or everyone that we work with. So we can easily like check.
Right.
Sure. You know, like sure. We're like, do you know this person? And a lot of times they don't. They have like, you know, it's such a stretched, the truth is so stretched that then if we had taken those clients on and we were telling the press like, oh yeah, they work with a celebrity and that one, and they don't, or like I said, there might be some smidgen of truth in there, then the whole, you know,
right,
makes it
right.
Difficult.
How did you get to this point as far as your network, like coming out of the gates with Wall Street, having a spiritual journey, saying, you know what, I'm really drawn to marketing and I think I'm good at this. I think I'm good at connecting with people. How did you build up to where you're at right now? What was like the first few steps you took?
So I always lead with energy and I just follow my energy wherever that goes. I'm always exploring opportunities and I'm always looking for different ways to get things done. So specifically how I ended up working with, you know, getting more involved in like Hollywood, I guess I'll just call it like a blanket term. I was working with a cannabis client prior to any legalization, even at a state level. We were trying to, or I guess I was trying to figure out, because they were like, we need to figure out how can you market this then, you know? So I created a show, and at the time I still lived in New Hampshire. I created a business reality show and I ended up selling it to Lionsgate. And that's what brought me out to LA. And through that show, I was tracking people down. I was like, going, because I was signing talent, and some of the talent, like one of my major talent, the one who was going to like move the show, like all of a sudden wasn't responding, and his manager wasn't like, just I thought at the time was like giving me runaround, and I didn't understand what was happening because he had said yes, he was going to do it. So I ended up like tracking down his mother in Compton and then figuring out like he actually like was detained, so he couldn't do the show. And I was like, oh, okay, we'll look for another host. It was just through that. And again, I came to LA. I love LA. I love California. I can't imagine living anywhere else. I used to spend a lot of time in New York because we have an office in New York as well. And I spent most of my time in LA. And through going back to even like doing personal brands and stuff, I started working with athletes, and it happens. It just kind of happened on its own.
You need a documentary about your life. I would watch it. It's so interesting.
Thanks.
We have a segment called Unsung Hero. A lot of times when we think about making a difference in the world, we think of, you know, it being on this high level and these, you know, somebody who's a multimillionaire or a celebrity or whatever it may be. That's kind of what we think of. We think of making a difference and an impact in leaders. But a lot of times when I talk to people about the person that really influenced them or made an impact in their life, not always, but more often than not, it's someone who is maybe an unsung hero, who isn't famous, doesn't have a huge following. Maybe they were a janitor at your school or a teacher or something like that. If there's one person you can think of right now who said something to you or did something for you that really shifted something inside of you, who would you say that would be?
I think she probably didn't realize it was like my gym teacher in eighth grade, I think, because she taught me how to, so such a funny story, but I'm tall, I'm like 5'8", and I was a cheerleader. And at the time, like you had to do a back handspring. I don't know if you know what a back handspring is, but
I know what it is.
Okay. Like some people are like, oh, what? But so I'm tall. So at the time, like gymnastics and cheerleading is like hand in hand now, but at the time it definitely wasn't. So I had to do a back handspring and no one wanted to spot me because I was so tall, but I wasn't going to be able to make a team if I didn't, if I couldn't do one. And my gym teacher, sat down with me and taught me how to visualize doing a back handspring. And I literally could do a back handspring from the visualization. So I think from that time forward, everything that I wanted then, I was manifesting. I just didn't understand. I didn't know, but I spent a lot of time visualizing anything I wanted, whether it was like popularity when you're younger, you know, like, you know, that's like, or a boy liking you, small little things that are just so silly now. But, yeah, I'm sure like looking back on that now, I feel like I'm a powerful manifester because I've been doing it for a long time unintentionally. But I knew that from her doing that, and I had the perfect form when I did it, things that like take a while to even once you know how to do it and to do it. So yeah, I think if anyone, she was, that's pretty instrumental, you know?
That's pretty cool. What about just going against the grain in your industry in general, going about things in a different way? We have a whole bunch of people who are listening right now, and there are a variety of industries, but one common thread among them all is they feel just a little bit outside of the box from what other people in their space are doing, feel a little bit different. Any words of encouragement of just leaning into your thing and being unapologetic about it, feeling aligned? You said something, you said over and over again, like trusting your own energy. I think that's so interesting. Any words of advice for unconventional leaders listening, going against the grain?
I hear this question a lot. So I'm wondering if there's like two answers to this, because sometimes when you're doing something that is a little outside of the box and you're having a hard time getting momentum with it, that it might not be like, don't worry about what other people are thinking. There might be something alignment wise off, like internally with you. And you might be thinking that this is, here's what I want to do, or here's like the change I want to have or the impact I want to make. But if you have some limiting beliefs that you're not even aware of, or trapped emotions that are holding you back, no matter what you tell yourself or advice you take, that it's not going to kick that in gear. I highly, highly recommend looking into NET therapy. It's something that I do all the time. My daughters and I, yeah, it's called NET. I can't remember what it stands for, but it's a process. And we see a woman in LA. It's a whole holistic approach. So we take tons of supplements that help us, you know, create new neural pathways. We get muscle tested for anything that's coming up. So it could be something that you think has nothing to do with, you know, someone could be irritating you. Let's say it's like a member of your team or someone in your family, and you're just like having this reoccurring issue. And it's like, you think it's something specific, like, oh, if they would just stop, or if I just address it differently, that will stop. But the reality is like we create every single scenario, and those are coming up for us because it's time for us to release something. So we get muscle tested down, so she can muscle test us to exactly what age it happened, that trapped emotion happened that's causing this to continue to surface. So it could be something when you're two, it could be something that when you're in the womb. My kids, their lives have like just, they're 20 and 22. One of them is a music producer out here. One of them works for the agency, and she's becoming a top publicist already at 22, like create, and just health wise, like in happiness, they're so happy, and same with myself. So it's never like anytime something comes up, or even if it doesn't, we go in and we're like, okay, what does our body need to work on? And sometimes, you know, I'll go in and like my thyroid is like weak. So will release some emotions that are trapped around that, that's causing extra stress to be on my thyroid or any other organs, because every organ is linked to an emotion. That's like where we hold certain emotions.
What's like an entry drug into all this? Because I know, I'm not sure if, you know, somebody listening in, you know, Little Rock, Arkansas right now would have an NET practitioner there.
Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So is there like a book or something you recommend to kind of
learn
a little bit more?
Well, it's not directly related, but a book that I love is Conscious Language by Robert Stevens.
Okay.
Literally study the book,
Great.
Every day. I read it over and over and over again. Start with that so you can start with your language at least.
Awesome. I'll put that in the show notes, guys. Before my very last question, I want to thank you so much for your time, your generosity. The way that you're showing up online is so refreshing. I was going through your posts and I'm like, yes, this is so good. Such great stuff. Where can people find you online and what are you most excited about right now?
You can find me on Instagram. That's where I usually am. But, I'm on all the social channels, of course, Danielle Sabrina. I would love, right now I'm pushing my mentor sessions through Entrepreneur Magazine. And the proceeds of those I donate to various BIPOC charities or initiatives. So great time to, because I don't work one-on-one with clients, but I do through the mentorship with Entrepreneur Magazine. So that would be great if anyone wants to book a session. You're also helping someone at the same time.
Awesome. Awesome. I will link that in the show notes, guys. Very last question. Let's say we were to go back in time to this young woman who, you know, you talked about her earlier. She had achieved all the things. She had proven herself in this industry and, you know, had a lot of successes under her belt, but yet was still feeling super unsatisfied, hadn't really fully leaned into her spiritual journey and walk and the healing and just kind of discovered this new path for herself. If you were to go and sit with that young woman and tell her one thing that you know now that she did not understand back then, what would that be?
Probably the language. So back to that book that I just recommended, how powerful our language is and even our internal thoughts. And I mean, even the smallest things from saying, you know, I will get this or I want this to I have this. Understanding the origins of our language and the original intent for them and how powerful our language is as a co-creator.
One of the things I loved about this conversation with Danielle is just this relief that yes, you can be ambitious, have big dreams, be a mover, be a shaker, be type A, run after your goals, and yet still be aligned with your calling. Sometimes I feel like I need to be one way or the other, like I need to be lighting a candle and being all zen, or I'm busting my ass running after my goals. I think the best is being aligned with what your personality is, what your calling is, what that still small voice is saying for you. It's there. All we got to do is stop, listen, and trust it. Make sure you connect with Danielle over at tribebuildermedia.com. Again, that is linked in the show notes, and I want to hear from you. Text me 501-214-4307. Let me know what you thought about this episode. If you have any questions or maybe topics you would like to see covered in the future. Again, that is 501-214-4307. I love you. I'm in your corner. See you soon.